You're listening to Stage Combat, a mental health story of what really happened behind the scenes at the Goodspeed Opera House in East Haddam, Connecticut, during its 2019 production of Billy Elliot, the musical.
Stage Combat is a true story of the narrator's personal experience during his mental health journey from 2019 to 2023. This podcast contains actor portrayals of actual events. The names of the members of the cast of Billy Elliot have been changed. Stage Combat contains strong language and addresses mental illness. Check the show notes for more details. Haywood Productions, LLC, offered Goodspeed Musicals, Inc., and the Goodspeed Opera House Foundation, Inc., the opportunity to include a statement in each episode of Stage Combat, including an option to deny the events as depicted. They declined. Haywood Productions also offered Goodspeed's artistic director and managing director the opportunity to appear on this podcast to discuss the narrator's account of his experience at the Goodspeed Opera House. They both declined.
It's September 2019, the end of the opening weekend of Billy Elliot at the Goodspeed Opera House. I'm rattled because nothing has been resolved by the Goodspeed regarding the safety incidents with Chad. And Chad seems to think that his reputation with the Goodspeed and with Gabriel Berry has been damaged because I spoke out about not feeling safe on stage with him. Now, what Chad wants is revenge. And he's about to do that with a bold scheme of lies. These lies will play out over the next 5 days at the Goodspeed. Here's the twist. I won't learn about Chad's lies until over 2 years after Billy Elliot's final curtain. But don't worry, you won't have to wait that long to learn what he did, because I'm about to tell you everything.
This is Season 1, Episode 6 of Stage Combat, Part 1. Chad's Revenge.
It's the end of the Sunday matinee of Billy Elliot, and Chad corners stage manager Bradley G. Spockman backstage. Chad has a plan to strike back.
Step 1. Discredit your perceived adversary to the Goodspeed's resident stage manager.
Chad tells Bradley G. Spockman that he wants to lodge a complaint.
Hey, Brad. Can I talk to you for a minute?
He tells him something happened during the matinee today that Sean Hayden was so upset about how the Solidarity stage combat sequence played out that he verbally accosted Chad backstage. Oh, and just to throw some fuel on the fire, Chad tells Spockman he heard I was rude to the box office and the wardrobe departments. But none of those things ever happened. Chad is officially entering the world of fabricated events. At this point, Chad's fabrications are small ones, but it's Chad's way of saying,
hey, you better watch out for this guy. I'm not the problem. He is.
This will be Chad's modus operandi at the Goodspeed, but trust me, he's just getting started. And it looks like step one of Chad's plan might be working, because Bradley G. Spockman reports all of that straight to the top, just reports them as actual incidents to the general manager. That general manager's name is Rachel Tischler. Remember the person with the weird Me Too joke on orientation day?
Something you don't like, my door is open. For instance, I don't like the way the actor playing dad talks to me.
Yeah, that's her. Rachel Tischler is in her third year at the Goodspeed, She also wears the hat of head of human resources. She's in her late 30s. And before arriving at the Goodspeed, she was an employment attorney at a major New York law firm. Her online profile states her practice included
wrongful termination, retaliation, and harassment lawsuits.
On her LinkedIn profile, Rachel lists among her skills
conflict resolution.
We're going to circle back to her really soon. But now, we have to move on to Chad's next step.
Step two. Discredit your adversary to the Broadway director.
On Tuesday, Chad emails Gabriel Barry.
So, I feel the need to sit down with you for 15 to 20 minutes this week to talk about something that is important and detrimental to the success of this company. I haven't been someone in my young life who has been offered a lot of advice or counsel, and the respect and admiration I have for you is unparalleled.
Barry emails Bradley G. Spockman.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Spockman replies.
The guys are still at loggerheads.
Step one is working, because the stage manager is reporting that fabricated backstage verbal altercation as a fact to the director. Barry responds.
What the fuck? That pisses me off. I do not want, nor do I want you, to get into a back and forth about each of them saying the other is the problem. Really don't want this to get worse.
But there's some bad news for Chad. The producer of Billy Elliot puts the brakes on that meeting with Gabriel Barry. Meet Donna Lynn Hilton. She's the folded arms lady. She's a North Carolina native in her 50s, has short salt and pepper hair, glasses. Donna Lynn Hilton has been at the Goodspeed for 31 years. She
started in the props department, gluing pom-poms in the production of Leave It to June.
Since then, she's worked her way to the top as the producer of Billy Elliot. Donna Lynn Hilton tells Barry not to meet with Chad. She says,
this is no longer your problem, but Goodspeed's to resolve.
Donna Lynn Hilton and Rachel Tischler work as kind of a team. I'm thinking of them as the Cagney and Lacey, or the Starsky and Hutch, or the Rizzoli and Isles of the Goodspeed. You can insert your own favorite buddy cop team here. Donna Lynn and Rachel are all over the case of whether an actor was rude to the box office and wardrobe departments. Chad's complaints from step one. Rachel says,
sounds like a fun investigation.
Donna Lynn replies,
isn't it always?
Donna Lynn says she'll interview those departments.
Box office.
Yeah, wardrobe.
Both of those departments tell her,
No, nothing rude happened.
After some serious sleuthing, Donna Lynn reports back to the precinct.
I think we take those concerns out of this equation.
Not so good news for Chad. But Chad's already moved on.
Step three. Discredit your adversary to Goodspeed's head of human resources.
That brings us back to Rachel Tischler. Chad leaves Rachel Tischler a voicemail.
I was calling to see if I could set up a time with you to chat about some things that have been going on throughout the company.
It's now Wednesday, September 25th, 12 noon, and Chad's sitting in front of Rachel Tischler.
Rachel, there's some things about Sean Hayden you should know.
And Chad is desperate to get this information to Gabriel Barry.
Barry doesn't quite understand the level of the issue. Barry has to know. I want to tell him.
Chad says he's been doing some outside investigation. He says he's been speaking with Actors Equity Association, that's the Actors Union, and more particularly, the union representative assigned to Goodspeed's production of Billy Elliot. That man's name is Jeffrey Bateman. Chad wants the Goodspeed to know that Jeffrey gave him some incriminating information about me. Chad tells Rachel that at some point during the last 6 months, prior to Billy Elliot, I was involved in some situation, somewhere, at some point, that involved a court issuing
temporary restraining orders.
Chad is saying that Actors Equity told him that I have a criminal history involving threats or violence. But wait, Chad's not finished. He then tells Rachel that Jeffrey Bateman gave him more information. He tells Rachel that he's learned that I was involved in some situation, somewhere, at some point, involving, as Rachel Tischler writes it on her legal pad,
racial slurs.
Stay tuned for part 2 of episode 6.
If you or someone you love is struggling with their mental health, help is available. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is a free, nationwide peer support service providing information, resource referrals, and support to people living with a mental health condition. Call the helpline at 1-800-950-6264 or text to 62640. That's 1-800-950-6264 or by text to 62640.
And now, part 2 of episode 6 of Stage Combat. I feel like we're unraveling the Zelensky call.
It's Wednesday, September 25th, just after 12 noon. And Chad is sitting in the office of Rachel Tischler. Chad has just told Rachel that he's been doing some investigating on his own, and he's learned some incriminating information about me from Actors Equity Association. What does Rachel do next? What must she be thinking?
Okay. Does something feel off about this? Sean just said he didn't feel safe on stage with Chad a week ago, and now Chad is conducting outside investigation? Maybe I should note this.
No, she doesn't make any note like that. Instead, Rachel writes on her legal pad.
Equity involvement in the last 6 months. TROs. Racial slurs.
But Chad's not finished.
Sean Hayden called me a faggot.
Another lie. What must Rachel be thinking now?
Okay. Wow. A gay man with a same-sex couple law practice using a homophobic slur. Does something seem off about this? Maybe I should note that?
No, she doesn't make any note like that. Chad has now accused me of being violent,
bigoted, and homophobic?
Does it occur to Rachel that...
Wait a minute. That's the dad in Billy Elliot. Chad is describing the character Sean is playing on stage? Maybe I should note that.
Nope. She doesn't note anything like that either. Instead, Rachel sits back and takes more notes from Chad, because he's got a litany of other things he wants Rachel to know. Chad repeats that claim that I was rude to the box office and wardrobe departments, the claim the investigative team of Donalyn and Rachel just debunked.
No, nothing rude happened.
And Rachel just writes it down again, like she's hearing it for the first time.
Lashing out at crew. Box office, wardrobe.
Chad is upset that he can't access my social media, and Rachel writes it down.
Sean blocked Chad on all social media.
Chad doesn't like, for some reason, that I'm not out socializing with the rest of the cast during my time off.
He keeps to himself off stage.
Chad complains that I cropped him out of the far left side of a photo that I wanted to post of me and Martha, who plays my mother on stage. Rachel writes,
Facebook post by Sean crops Chad out.
Chad complains how long it took me to arrive at the opening night party. He timed how long it took me to shower and change.
45 minutes.
Chad also complains that whenever I've spoken to him, I'm
trying to get into his head.
And those safety incidents last week? The fall and the fight call incident where I said I didn't feel safe? Chad tells Rachel Tischler,
I didn't do anything wrong.
When Chad leaves Rachel Tischler's office, there are now pages and pages of notes in Rachel's own handwriting. But there's two words Rachel has not written about her meeting with Chad to anyone. Red flags.
I've been doing some outside investigation. Sean blocked me from his social media. Sean keeps to himself off stage.
I timed how long it took Sean to arrive at the party.
Sean! Trying to get into my head. Sean!
Instead, she reports back to Donna Lynn Hilton. And within the hour, Rachel and Donna Lynn are back on the case. Rachel Tischler calls Actors Equity Association. She's trying to verify what Chad has just told her. But a call with the union, it can't be scheduled until tomorrow. In the meantime, Donna Lynn Hilton emails Gabriel Berry.
Chad's report has essentially begun an official investigation into Sean's behavior.
Berry reacts to the news.
Man, never saw that coming.
Of course he didn't, because none of what Chad is alleging is true.
Much of what Chad shared requires corroboration, which we are currently pursuing. I am sure that Chad is concerned about this situation damaging his reputation and relationship with you. We will continue to keep you updated and will certainly let you know the outcome of the investigation.
Barry says,
so sorry for you, Rachel and Brad.
At the same time, Rachel Tischler personally emails Chad.
We have launched into investigation mode.
And informs him of the investigation.
I know it was a tough conversation to have because the subject matter is concerning to so many of us.
She tells him Goodspeed will be talking to Bradley G. Spockman, some of his castmates, and Actors Equity about his claims.
I hope you will continue to let me and Brad know if anything additional should occur, no matter how small.
Once Chad receives Rachel's email, he is thrilled with Ms. Tischler's direction to keep the complaints coming, no matter how small.
Thank you for truly having an open door policy.
The next morning, Rachel Tischler actually speaks to Actors Equity about Chad's heinous allegations that he learned from his equity representative that I have a criminal history and a history of racial slurs. She emails Donna Lynn Hilton.
Spoke to Actors Equity Association this morning. Jeffrey Bateman is Chad's equity rep. He did not share that information with Chad. As far as Actors Equity is concerned, that information was not told to him.
Rachel Tischler has caught Chad in his lies. Donna Lynn Hilton waits almost 24 hours and says,
This is very concerning. It's disturbing to think that Chad would be untruthful about this. It's difficult to think that he doesn't know we would investigate. I feel like we are unraveling the Zelensky call.
And what happens to the investigation at this point? Nothing. The paper trail at the Goodspeed just stops. Cold. Goodspeed doesn't prepare any findings of the investigation. Goodspeed doesn't send Gabriel Berry that update on the investigation. They don't prepare a final report. They didn't impose confidentiality restrictions. Goodspeed doesn't prevent Chad from infecting the cast and crew with his heinous lies. And Goodspeed doesn't question the accused. Me. I was never questioned because this entire investigation, all of this, was kept secret from me for over 2 years after Billy Elliot's final curtain. What action did Goodspeed take against Chad? Nothing. They send Chad right back onto the Opera House stage for the Friday evening performance, where he would again be handling my body in dangerous stage combat sequences, eavesdropping on my conversations, looking for anything.
I hope you will continue to let me and Brad know if anything additional should occur, no matter how small.
As I stand in front of Chad for fight call, I have no idea what he's done. I have no idea what I've been accused of. I have no idea that in about 24 hours, I will collapse on the Opera House stage.
Haywood Productions offered the Goodspeed the opportunity to include a statement within this episode. The Goodspeed declined. Goodspeed's artistic director and managing director declined an invitation to appear on this podcast to discuss the narrator's account of his experience at the Goodspeed Opera House.
Coming up on the next episode of Stage Combat, a mental health story.
I tell her I'm concerned that Chad may be reporting me to HR in retaliation for bringing safety complaints, and that's harassment under the Goodspeed Employee Handbook. Rachel has her legal pad out. She's been taking notes during the call. She writes,
"Calling it harassment."
"Hi, Gabe. I need some help."
It's a hard call to make because I'm in tears, and that makes me feel humiliated.
"Sean also called me while I was driving home to try to figure out the timeline better."
Rachel and Donna Lynn know bad things are happening at the Goodspeed, which they are keeping from me. And Rachel is telling Donna Lynn, "I'm trying to figure out the timeline."
Stay tuned for a post-show talkback with Sean and his guests.
Bullying is one of those things that's kind of, as much as everyone's disagreeing about so many political and social issues across the country, bullying is one of those things everybody pretty much admits is really harmful to health as it is. It's harmful for children, it's harmful for adults, and it continues. You know, it continues and it follows you, whether the bullying behavior itself, whether you become the bully in time, or whether it's just the residual effects of it that can lead to anxiety and or violence later in life, you know? It's really harmful.
That's coming up now.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our post-show talkback of Stage Combat. This is Sean Hayden. We're going to do something a little bit different this episode. We have two actors with us who I am happy to say are friends of mine. We have Michael McGurk, who is an actor and is also, Michael, you're getting your master's in psychology.
Correct. Yes. Getting a master's in developmental psychology.
And where are you getting that from right now?
City University of New York, their School of Professional Studies.
Okay. That's great.
So I should be graduating hopefully this May.
And Michael and I met, we just did the math. It was 12 years ago working at Sacramento Music Circus in a production of Camelot. It's amazing it's been that long.
Crazy how much time goes by.
And we were just noting a show with a lot of stage combat, no safety issues, great experience for all of us. We also have another friend with us, Stephen Bono Jr. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you? Nice to be on.
Listeners, if you remember in episode one, there was a reference to a small acting studio that I was studying at Tribeca Basement. Stephen and I met there. I asked you guys to come aboard on Stage Combat, especially after this episode, episode six, where our listeners have heard in the story of Stage Combat, we have what can only be described as a very extreme bullying situation with Chad. And while making this podcast, I gained new information about both of you, that you both had bullying situations on the job that affect you in, let's just say, a very negative way. And I asked you to come on and to share your stories. Michael, let's start with you. What was your experience?
Well, to start with, my experience was on a Broadway show. It was my second Broadway show in the year 2006. Now, that was many, many years ago. And what's interesting to me is, one, it was a long time ago. So I do feel very much removed from it. But at the same time, all these years later, in pursuing a master's degree in developmental psychology, I'm doing my capstone project on workplace bullying. So it's within the theater industry itself. So it obviously has stayed with me all these years in some form. It was on a Broadway show. It was a new Broadway show. I was a swing, which is someone who covers the ensemble, of course. And I was also the assistant dance captain.
So Michael, where did the bullying start?
Well, let's say a member of the creative team may have had a crush on me at the time and wanted more out of me than I was willing to give, not only on that show, but a previous show. And that started the process of it. That itself wasn't bullying at all. That might be another word, but bullying, I know, often occurs through peers.
There was a person in a position of power on the creative team that was making some sort of advances that you were not interested in. And then how did that trickle down into the way you were treated or bullied by the cast?
My anxieties kicked up big time in knowing that I was being rejected by the choreographer personally and professionally because I wasn't willing to reciprocate. And I do think it was sort of a bi-directional relationship of that situation. And then I was young and my own anxieties took over. The cast picked up on that energy overall. And I had become singled out as, you're the one that's outcast from this production. Bullying became targeted, people talking about you behind your back all the time, to the point of, you know, yelling at you on stage, yelling at you off stage. It was like you can do nothing right and you can't get out of that pattern, no matter how hard. All I knew how to do was work hard.
I think what we can see in theater settings, and you'll see this in the story of Stage Combat, is a domino effect, Michael. So that when you speak out, or in your case, you were the subject of an unwanted advance, which you rejected, then there's a certain tainting of you, and that language that originates from the original conflict, it sort of gets handed down. It's sort of what I would call confirmation bias, you know, particularly if it's coming from the top or it's coming from someone in power.
Yes. Yep. The bullying just kept perpetuating on and on, to the point where it did get bad throughout the year, where I went into the employer one day and said, I can't go on stage. I feel like they're going to try something, that they're going to try something to hurt me, whether it's, you know, abandon a lift or something. And
you felt it was getting to that level.
I did. We look at casts and you look at them now where it's like, maybe there's one or two bad apples. This cast had a lot of them, let's say. It was all the same age. And I sometimes think when you're in a cast where the company is the same age and you don't have enough people, it's like any workplace. When you don't have enough people to balance that out, that's where these things come into play. And so a lot of it now is like, who knows if a lot of those people would be bullies nowadays, maybe one or two of them. In general, though, the rest of them were the bystanders, as we say in bullying.
That's an interesting dynamic to talk about. And Steve, you might be able to relate to this as well. I think we've all been... Look, for every great show, there's been a show that was not so great. We have shows that were like, oh, it was an amazing experience. The cast was amazing. And then we have shows where it just wasn't a nice group of people or the cast just didn't click. And in a not so great cast, things can get out of control. You can find yourself in situations where you don't feel safe, situations that do damage your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should start singing because you're preaching to the choir over here. But I actually had a kind of a strange dynamic where a gentleman had just gotten out of grad school.
Yeah, so with this particular actor, what kind of problems manifested itself in the workplace for you?
It came to a head a couple times, but the first one was, there's a lot of jibber jabber on stage. We're having a very kind of violent and visceral play where we're having fights, but also playing basketball. And then we have a lot of these moments where we have to improvise. In those moments, he started to get personal.
And what do you mean personal?
Some of these jabs felt very, very specific and very, very to Steven and not my character.
So he's presumably ad-libbing in character, but he is saying things that personally apply to you, Steven.
Yeah, yeah, little stuff. The stature, you know, let's go little guy. And he had said something about even my wife, about the person that I was engaged to marry at the time. And
your actual fiance?
Yeah, my fiance at the time.
On stage?
Yeah.
Okay, that's messed up.
But it all culminated in our big sort of fight where he wanted this to be much larger.
Was this a physical fight?
Yeah, it's a choreographed fight on stage, and it is the climax of the show. And it goes from basketball into this fight. There's a knife involved. It's just very similar to me on how the chest shove and the methodness and the lack of trust and care in our relationship.
You're referring to what I am going through in the story of Stage Combat.
Exactly. So I kept getting these harder shoves and then requesting, hey, you know, I think we can do a more of a stage shove here. And I actually had to halt rehearsal, and he actually yelled. He got loud and talked to the choreographer about it. He wanted this to be, you know, in the name of reality. I'm like, well, I don't feel safe.
Michael, when you hear that sort of thing, we've got an actor either for personal reasons or they're being over method, that they're engaging in some sort of activity on stage that makes the other actor feel unsafe. What's your reaction to that?
It's just crazy because it's unacceptable in the workplace is what it comes down to. I don't care what field you're in. It's not appropriate behavior. I don't care if you're in a creative field at all. There's nothing about being creative that says that's necessary. In doing my research, theory says there's this theory called the investment theory of creativity. Anxiety is often part of the creative process. Anxiety is very common among creative people in general, among arts workers. Being violent, being inappropriate is not. Of course, anxiety can lead you to all kinds of things. You know, traits within anxiety, traits within neuroticism, I should say, the personality trait of neuroticism, are anxiety and are anger as well. And that can lead to this behavior, let's say. But it doesn't mean it's appropriate. I think that's the takeaway, Sean, I get from this, of having a little bit of distance from the theater world. It's just, you don't do that. You don't feel unsafe in the workplace, you know? And it doesn't mean this doesn't happen in other industries at all, but it's high time for the theater industry to say no. And I think they are starting to do so. I mean, change is very hard, but it's like, no, you don't do that. You know, it's, you don't harass people. And whatever that means. And oftentimes then that can lead to the bullying itself, which is very detrimental to health in general.
And then the next component of this, I believe, and this is part of the story of Stage Combat, is what is the employer's response to this? You know, I have always felt there's such a mentality that, okay, you booked the role, now you're on your own. Good luck. It's the wild, wild west out there, because we don't really want to get involved into something that's messy. That would not be acceptable in any other workplace. That's what the listener is sort of hearing the experience of the story of Stage Combat is. Steve, you went to your employer and asked for help. And what was the response?
Well, we had gotten into a yes when I first brought it. Ignore him. You know, you can do better. We focus on the work. You know, use it. You know, is sort of was used kind of in jest. And so addressed to me, but maybe not in person. Hey, you know, we all need to work as a team, you know.
So the suggestion was use the circumstances that he is making you individually as Steve feel unsafe to further your work.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to use this phrase the second time. That's messed up.
Yeah. And it was.
Michael?
Bullying is one of those things that's kind of, as much as everyone's disagreeing about so many political and social issues across the country, bullying is one of those things everybody pretty much admits is really harmful to health as it is. It's harmful for children. It's harmful for adults. And it continues, you know, it continues and it follows you, whether the bullying behavior itself, whether you become the bully in time, or whether it's just the residual effects of it that can lead to anxiety and or violence later in life, you know. it's really harmful. And I think that's something that is universally accepted. Maybe we need to start there in trying to combat it.
Michael McGurk and Stephen Bono Jr., thank you so much for joining me on Stage Combat and for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Remember, this conversation and this podcast should not be considered a substitute for medical or mental health advice. So if you are experiencing any medical or mental health issues, please seek independent medical advice from a healthcare professional. Thank you for joining us for this episode. Be sure to join us for episode 7. It's called Spinning Out. Our amazing mental health professional, Dr. Elisa Hurwitz, will be back. We're going to talk about an essay by Broadway TV film star Kristen Chenoweth about her experience while working on the CBS series The Good Wife and about being afraid to speak up in the workplace. Stage Combat, A Mental Health Story is a production of Haywood Productions, LLC. This episode was recorded and edited by Andrew Lin, and it was directed and read by me, Sean Hayden. A special thank you to the incredible voice actors featured in this episode. Please follow us on Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Stage Combat the Podcast, and on Instagram at Stage Combat the Podcast IG. As always, we would love to hear from you. So send us your comments, your questions. Maybe you would like to share your own experience. You can email us at stagecombatthepodcast@gmail.com. I hope today and every day brings you an opportunity to claim your story. I'll meet you over at episode 7.
If you or someone you know is in crisis or contemplating self-harm, you can reach out to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by simply dialing or texting 988. That's 988. Mental health assistance is also available through the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's a free, nationwide peer support service providing information, resource referrals, and support to people living with a mental health condition. You can call the helpline at 1-800-950-6264 or text helpline to 62640. That's 1-800-950-6264 or by text to 62640.